8:32, it's the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. State Senator David Brock Smith is joining us this morning. David, good morning.
Good morning to you, Kyle.
Well, here we are in the middle of April, getting close to the primary election. I wanted to cover a few different things. I guess, first of all, for lawmakers right now from the legislature, is everybody pretty much just focused on the election situation they might find themselves in, or is there committee work still going on or things like that during the legislature this time of year?
Oh, there's all kinds of work. lots of constituent work these days. There are focuses, of course, on the election. Elections, of course, May 21st, as everyone knows. But lots of constituent work to deal with, as always. I've been, of course, being the co-chair of the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus, we have the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Commission is moving forward with choosing a new director. As you know, Kurt Melcher is going to be retiring. And that decision is critically important to the future of the department and our hunters and fishers across the state. So we've been engaged in lots of meetings with stakeholders on that selection process. Of course, there's also, we were able to get the change in the legislative session with regards to the makeup of the Fish and Wildlife Commission. With the addition to the congressional district, we had to make a change because we added a congressional district in Oregon, and the makeup of the Fish and Wildlife Commission was previously two at large, essentially, and then one from each of our congressional districts. And now we were able to change that to river basins. And essentially, our Senate district now has has influence over four of those positions, which is critically important to the future of fish and wildlife, and more importantly, the hunting and fishing for our youth and adults the same across the state. You might remember in the 2023 session, we fought a bill that dealt with CAFOs, which are confined animal feeding operations, recently. And I think you reported on it, Kyle, but recently they were going after our smaller farms and operations, but we were able to push back on the Oregon Department of Agriculture, who would manage that program with their rulemaking. And so they did stop that direction and have ceased moving forward on implementing any rulemaking on that. So we're, of course, engaged in those conversations so that we can make sure that our fishers, that our farmers and ranchers and are able to continue their operations. There's a big push across the state right now, again, from bureaucrats and agencies, not from legislators and legislation, to go after water. What we call the wet west side is much different than eastern Oregon. And so there's been a push from my colleagues and I to make sure that those changes that want to come from Water Resources Department are not a one-size-fits-all statewide process, but we need to be able to look at the various basins and have opportunities for individuals that we know there's water, the access to water, have the opportunity to have an abundance of water to be able to move forward economic development, farming, ranching, and other things in the future. So that's just three of the many things going on right now, Kyle.
And when you look at the area of water, and maybe this applies more to other parts of the state, what about the move towards removing some of the dams around the region and the impact that might have on the situation?
Well, removing the Klamath dams was an environmental disaster. I'm sure everyone witnessed the just broad killing salmonids and other fish species. Frankly, I think the Army Corps completely botched that whole situation, and the Attorney General, on behalf of those Oregonians, should sue the federal government for the disaster that has occurred there, in my opinion. It's ridiculous what has happened. I'm adamantly opposed to removing those dams. You have a situation where and especially when it comes to the Snake River and so forth, we have clean, reliable power that is coming from such facilities. And taking that off the grid while you have the majority party in this state pushing towards more solar and wind, we saw what happened with the ice storm a few years ago in our district here. In Southern Oregon, we saw the cold snap that occurred just last year up in Portland. There is not the turbines do not move, and the sun does not shine to be able to create the electrons that our citizens need if we can get that power to them, because everything then at that point is by wire with trees falling down all around to be able to keep people warm and allow them to cook food. And so gas is important, and we need to continue to push back on these policies that are virtuosic in nature and have no relevant science. More importantly, not science, but they have no relevant infrastructure in place to be able to deal with these storms that we know are going to continue.
And one other thing I want to hit is you mentioned the election. As you look at the primaries and then you look forward to the general, do you see the Republicans with an opportunity to pick up some seats this fall in the legislature?
Oh, most definitely. And thank you for that, Kyle. We have, you know, I have been, just to put it in perspective, when I came into the legislature in 2017 as your state representative, we have what's called the Legislative Coastal Caucus, which makes up seven districts along the coast, and then there are legislative districts. When I came in, it was then former Senator Cruz and myself were the only two Republicans in the seven-member Coastal Caucus, and there were five Democrats. And we have worked and worked, and now, as of 2023, and working our rears off, we were able to, now there's six Republicans and only one Democrat. And we can do that statewide. In the last election alone, we were at less than 4,500 votes within among six races to have the majority of Republicans in the House. That opportunity still sits here today. There are great candidates across this state. The people are upset with the direction of where Oregon is going. They're upset with the Bidenflation that we have across the state, with the increase in gas prices, the increase in food prices. People are hurting out there. And the majority party in this state is just tax hungry, wants to consume more dollars. And we have opportunities to pick up those seats. We had some fixes, of course, in the last session, as you know, with the push to repeal Measure 110, recriminalize hard drugs. That's going into effect September 1st because we needed to build up those parole, probation, and monitoring resources, as well as the treatment resources. So we have a great opportunity with the message moving forward, because Republicans have answers to these problems in this state, and we have opportunities to pick up seats and bring balance back to Oregon.
As you look at your own race, you've got a contested primary. How do you feel like that's going?
Well, it's busy. You're familiar with the cease and desist. We have individuals that have are just blatantly not telling the truth. Of course, that's what happens when you have candidates that don't really have any substance in their own merits and want to move forward, so they just lie about somebody else. I think we're talking about the work that's been done and the work that we want to do with regards to my push right now. I talked about it a little bit, but as you know, and we've talked about it in the past, is building that Western States coalition of state legislators in California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Colorado, to push on our federal delegation to front load those forest management dollars into our communities so that we can transition our wildland firefighters into fuels reduction strategies, prescribed burn and thinning projects within the wildland-urban interfaces so that we can get trees to our mills and we can create a resiliency within those wildland-urban interfaces to protect our communities so that we can continue to expand out. We know the prescription works. We've used it in the Deschutes National Forest. We've used it in the Fremont-Wainema National Forest that survived the Bootleg Fire. And that is my primary focus as we're moving forward before the interim and the pressure on our federal delegation from those state legislators in those states to get it done.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check in again soon. State Senator David Brock-Smith, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a great day.
8:43 at the Morning Report.